Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Muthoot Capital, hosted by Elara Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Daptardar from Elara Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Alaric. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Muthoot Capital Services. From the esteemed management, we have with us today Mr. Matthew Marcos, CEO, Mr. Ramandeep Gill, CFO. We express our gratitude towards the management of Muthoot Capital to provide us the opportunity to host this conference call. Without further ado, I now hand over the call to Mr. Ramandeep Gill, CFO, for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shweta. Just confirm whether am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Very good morning to all of you. I'll just provide you the glimpse of our Q3 numbers, and after that, we'll be having a Q&A session. So talking about the business of the company, we had an ever-highest quarter wherein we have sourced 846 crore of business. With this, we have taken our AUM to 2,833 crore, which marks a year-on-year jump of 46%. The company has taken a total balance sheet size to 3,282 crore, with borrowing outstanding of 2,566 crore. In this process, we have acquired over 100,000 customers in one quarter, which has took our customer base to more than 500,000 for the first time. The PBT of the company stood at 17.29 crore, taking our shareholder funds to 652.12 crore. Talking about the GNPA of the company, wherein Q2, we have taken a very conscious call of selling out one more pre-COVID NPA pool or a bad pool to ARC. Therein also, even after that, the GNPA of the company is standing, as we speak, at 4.73%. The NNPA of the company standing at 2.22%. So just to give you a brief on that in NNPA as well, wherein we have also specified in the notes as well, wherein then we have done the first ARC of the company with Phoenix ARC, wherein a major pool of the company has been sold to ARC, which was a pre-COVID pool, bad pool. After that, we have revised our PCR norms, making it at 75%. Then, after immediately selling the second pool to the ARCs, wherein we have again further revised those norms, still we are one of the highest PCR providers in the company, sorry, in the segment, and therefore our PCR, as we speak, is now 60%. Then talking about the AUM growth of the company, last year at the same time, the company was at 1,940.30 crore. Now the company is operating at 2,832 crore of AUM. As I said, year-on-year, it was a 46% jump. Quarter-on-quarter, it was 18.5% jump from Q2 to Q3. Talking about the products of the company, operated with two-wheeler, with corporate loans, four-wheeler, three-wheeler, loyalty loan, and CVs. So in this quarter, or as you talk about the portfolio, with the year-on-year portfolio, two-wheeler, we have recorded a jump of 49%. Corporate loans, since we are not doing, so it has shown a degrowth. Four-wheeler has been gone up by four-wheeler and PL, that has gone up by more than 300%, loyalty loan and PL. Three-wheeler has gone up by 100%. So as the CV, which we have started at the start of this financial year, it has again, you know, shown a remarkable growth. Quarter-on-quarter, it grew up by 272%. Talking about the business, same year-on-year, Q3, we did 478 crore. In quarter two, we did 643 crore. This quarter, we closed, as I said, 845.70 crore. Now, talking about the total business, this year, for the first 9 months, the company have been able to do a business of 1,987.11 crore, which is again one of the ever highest. We already spoke on the GNPA, wherein I told about the GNPA percentage has been 10.69%, has now from the last in Q3 of the last financial year, has gone down to 4.73%. Last quarter, it was 4.80%. Talking about the NNPA, as I said, because of the change in the estimate, and since the entire bad pool has been sold out, still we kept PCR on the higher side at 60%. Talking about now, this quarter-on-quarter growth we have seen in each and every parameter. Now, we as a company, we operated at an average LTV of 84.6%, and the company is having an own funds of 642.10 crore. The profit after tax, we are reporting at 12.7 crore. We can see, quarter three of last financial year, year-on-year, it was at 10.2. That has moved up to 11.1 crore in quarter four of last financial year. In quarter one of this financial year, the profit after tax was 11.4 crore. In quarter two, it moved up to 16.3 crore. That also contained one of, you know, the profit on the reversals because of ARC that we did. And then in quarter two, in quarter three, it is standing at 12.7 crore. The company has for this quarter ending, the company is having an ROA of 2% with ROE of 8%, and EPS is standing at 7.6 rupees. We also did some analysis on our cost and yield, wherein we have seen continuous improvement in the last four quarters on the yield front of the company, as we speak about the retail loans of the company. Corporate loan remains flat. As I said at the start of the call, we are not doing much. Investor yield, we have been able to increase, and borrowing cost of the company is again, you know, hovering at a range of 9.90%-9.95%, which we are assuming that it will be hovering at the in the same range till our Q4 results will be out. So talking about the own channel business vis-a-vis the co-lending business. So in this quarter, right from the October itself, October, November, and for the last 3 months, the company have been able to increase its dealer business as compared to the quarter three year-on-year by 227%. The business which have been sourced by the group companies, that has been increased by 203%. And we have seen a dip in the co-lending, which has been, you know, dropped down by 8%. So incrementally, 75% of the business came from MCSL channels, and then remaining through partners we have. Talking about the portfolio analysis, which we done, 95.27% of the portfolio is remaining as a standard portfolio of the company. 4.73% is our substandard portfolio, which comes under Stage 3. Further, dividing this into the portfolio of a standard portfolio of the company, the zero bucket portfolio stood at 85.22%. The first bucket portfolio stood at 7.14%. Second bucket, standing at 2.44%. Then above three and three and above, it is standing at 4.73%. As we said, we do have partnerships in terms of co-lending and VC models. VC model, we are doing with our group companies, Muthoot Fincorp and Muthoot Automotive. With partnerships, we do have co-lending partnership with organizations called Wheels, EMI, Manva, CWC, EV.fin, specifically for our green funding and Upmoney during the last quarter. So we divided our ECL, and we have also seen that what sort of, even after revising our ECL and you know, not revising our ECL, the change in the estimate, what is the even after revising the PCR of the company, what is the total provision which the company is having? As per the IRAC requirement from the RBI norm, company was required to keep a provision on stage 1, 2, and 3 amounting to rupees 55.30 crore. Whereas in terms of ECL per provision and considering 60% effect to company was having a provision of 97 crores. Thereby, we are keeping an excess provision still of 41.45 crores. The requirement for IRAC norms was at 2%, whereas we are providing, as per ECL, we are providing it 3.5%. Talking about how the company has done in terms of ARC sale, which we did. When we did the first ARC sale, that gave us the confidence to do the second one. Therein, we recorded a security receipt balance of 102.22 crore. Those security receipt balance only through hardcore cash recovery in 15 months of time, 102.22 crore has came down to 41.09 crore. It's a good, great achievement for all of us. Talking about the ARC 2, wherein we did at the end of September, at the end of Q2, which also became a reason for my change in the PCR. So therein also, we have seen a remarkable growth in the remarkable improvement in the first 3 months itself. We recorded an SR of 41.73 crore at the start of the ARC security receipt, ARC 2. Now that balance is 36.75 crores. So therein also, we have, the company has been able to recover more than 6.5 crore only in the 3 months itself. Talking about the fundings of the company has been able to borrow 838 crores from the market in Q3. Out of that, 590 crores remain as my long-term funding, and remaining has come as a short-term funding. When we talk about short-term funding, it's a mixture of working capital demand loan, and also there are CPs which we are raising. We have also analyzed that where is the total, you know, funding of the company. So total borrowing of the company as of now, we are at 2,576.59 crore. Majority contributor contribution has came from two things. One from bank at, you know, approximately 1,050 crore. Then there comes the NCD, which is again approximately at 1,000 crore. Then there came the there comes the contribution from commercial papers, from PTs, from FIs and others. The company has been successfully able to roll all its working capital demand loan from PSU in last quarter, which amounts to 475 crores. We have also done one analysis on the change in the MCLR rate. So we have taken State Bank of India rate as an average MCLR rate. We can see that approximately 0.35% of average MCLR rate has been increased in the first 9 months, whereas borrowing cost of the company against that has been increased by 0.14%. Talking about the fixed deposit of the company, the balance outstanding is as of 40 crore, wherein, you know, majority of the balance is coming from 2 to 3 years and more than 5 years. From that, we are having a good liquidity, you know, wherein we track our liquidity through our LCR. In this quarter, since RBI norms have been changed from 85% to 100%, the company was successful in carrying that liquidity at 116% of LCR. So that's it from a brief snapshot of the company for Q3 and as of Q3 as well. Over to you, Matthew, sir.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Let me start by wishing all of you a very, very happy and prosperous 2025. Since Raman has already extensively covered all the numbers, I don't want to repeat those numbers. But I would just give some of the achievements that we've done over the last quarter and some of the, you know, very important changes that have happened in our organization on the positive side. So first of all, we had the fresh blood of the young next fourth generation Muthutians coming in our board of directors. So Tina Muthut has joined as our executive director, and Susan Muthut and Ritu Muthoot have also joined as non-executive directors. So the company has brought in fresh blood into the company. Two, we have got the much awaited corporate agency license from IRDA. So that is going to be a really big thing for us, because all the insurance premiums which we were already doing till now, because for the security of our customers, we were almost doing about 95-97% coverage on the credit life insurance side. But we were not able to realize the income on that because we were not a corporate agency. Now that will be an additional income line for us. We are proud to say that on all the forecasts that we had given to investors on all our previous calls in terms of numbers, we have overachieved all those numbers. In fact, we had given a guidance of about 3,000 crore of AUM to exit March 25. We are already on 2,833 odd. So we should hopefully, by the grace of God, exit at around 3,200 crore. So that's a huge positive. On the technology side, again, we have made investments. So we have changed our LOS for used car and commercial vehicles. So that is, has gone live, which is a big thing, because now these two businesses were anyway picking up, and this will add wings to the momentum. And these two businesses are going to be really big for us in the coming year on two counts. One, larger ticket size. Two, lower credit cost. And three, lower tenor of loans, which means that the AUM will build faster than a two-wheeler loan. The runoff will be smaller. Then again, on the technology side, we have launched the risk-based pricing with CIBIL. CIBIL has built the scorecard for us, and that we have launched, wherein now we will be able to price the customers in different risk buckets, low, medium, and high-risk customers separately. Till now, we were pricing all the customers based on scheme. So any customer taking a particular scheme, irrespective of the risk profile, would have got the same pricing. But now we will be able to differentiate it, and we will be able to give a better pricing better pricing to the low-risk customers, whereas we will be able to price the high-risk customers appropriately. So all these investments we have made on the technology side. We have introduced a new CRM and lead management solution from Lead Squared that has gone live in the last quarter. Now all our leads that we had tied up with the marketplaces are now passed on to the front line through the Lead Squared platform. Earlier it used to be passed on through Excel, which was a very inefficient way of tracking it. Now we are able to track end-to-end the lead. All our customer service is happening through the Lead Squared platform, which is a CRM solution where customers can, or every complaint has a tag pre-built into the system. And if the tag is breached, then it automatically escalates to the next level, coming up to my level if there is a need. So all those are really good for the customer. And so all these things we've done over the last quarter. Of course, the work was in progress, but we were able to successfully launch this. Looking forward, I think Q3 is also has started well. January was good compared to market standards. We also did a benchmarking of MCSL against other lenders in this business through the credit bureau. And on all the vectors, we are happy to say that on all vectors, we are, we've done better than the players in the same line of business. So I think overall, the company has been doing well, and we're extremely proud to, present this result in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Devashree Raj from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, I'm an auditor.
Yes, please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just had two questions. The first one is on the two-wheeler sector and how the rural outlook is panning out in light of the budget, and as well as how it will pan out in the next 2 years. And the second question is on the margin outlook. Like, what do you expect in terms of after the rate cut happens? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. This is something, this data which we just took last week from the credit bureau. So actually over 50% or close to 50%, 49.67% of the overall originations across quarters have happened from the, you know, below 100 cities. So we have segregated cities into top 8, then 9 to 51, and then 51 to 100 and above 100. Okay, so 50% of the originations across quarters, so it was about 46% about a year back, and it has come up to 49 point something. So 50% originations are happening from the BP 100, which is below 100 cities. So that is where the market is growing, and I think that is where the market is, will continue to grow. This year, fortunately, we had good monsoon, so rural demand is also picking up. And we continue to, we'll continue to see rural demand, and this product is also largely the area where we operate in. We operate mainly in the commuter segment and not on the high-end bikes. Commuter segment is and has been growing in the rural belt, and it will continue to grow. That's on the number side. And second question that you asked were on the margins. So as of now, rate cut, nothing has come in. But even if it comes in, I think it will be beneficial for us, because, you know, it may impact immediately the MCLRs, and therefore the benefit will accrue to us. We are currently, you know, operating at a finance cost about 9.75, 9.8. That should come down progressively because I also read articles about maybe the rate cut going up to 0.75 over a period of time. So whatever, whenever it happens, and if it happens, it will benefit us. For us, on the lending side, since we have implemented risk-based pricing, that is also beneficial for us, because we will be able to price good customers lower and slightly higher risk customers appropriately. So I don't think it is going to impact us on the yield side, but of course it will impact us on the overall NII, because our cost of borrowing should go down.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Khandelwal from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, just be a little louder, Tejas. Thanks.
Okay. So, sir, the other expenses have increased to 20 crores this quarter from 16 crores. So, could you explain the key reasons behind this rise, and what kind of other expenses do you expect in next quarter and, let's say, in FY26?
Okay. So, I'll take it. Hi, sir. Very good morning. So, in terms of my other expenses, see, there are two, three things wherein, as you know, said by sir as well. We have heavily invested in the software. So there are, you know, multiple AMCs which have come, and we have taken that hit in the Q3 only, wherein, you know, we have taken approximately 2 crore of hit in our software usage fees itself. It's more of a, you know, cloud services which we have taken. Then, you know, then in all other parameters, we can see that other than that, you know, our expenses have gone down itself. There are some branches and some things, you know, which you know, we have opened. So there we can see some spikes of around 15, 16 lakh over there. And other than that, you know, there are, you know, expenses related. So 1 crore of expenses, I will say, that has been divided between our, you know, cost of acquiring new office for my, you know, for the pending advertisements, you know, which we have booked. We don't want it, you know, to take it to Q4. So we have taken that hit. Otherwise, if we talk about Q4, the 5% here and there from Q2, that would be my other expenses as of now.
Okay, so what kind of run rate do you expect in other expenses in next quarter? And
So as I said, you know, we have if we have to talk about, you know, compare about the Q2, we do have another expenses of close to 16.50 crore. We are expecting, you know, 5-10% jump only on that, wherein, you know, we have to book some sort of, you know, expenses in Q4, being it's the last quarter of the year. So we are expecting to close it somewhere around 18.2 crores.
Okay, sir, got it. And sir, my second question is on NPA. So what portion of your total NPA is from pre-COVID period right now?
So I'll tell you. So as I said, majority of the portion has already been, you know, split between two ARCs. Right now, there is a very small portion which is there from the pre-COVID, you know, which comes around 15-16 odd crore, which is still there in the books.
Okay. So do you expect to sell these 15-16 crores to ARC going forward?
We wanted to, but, you know, the pool that, you know, earlier also that has become part of my previous pool, which, you know, wherein I did ARC-II transaction. ARC-II transaction, which wherein we can appreciate with the fact that, you know, after 100 crore, we have to do a switch challenge on the ARC and all. Therefore, intentionally, we kept it, you know, we kept it below 100 crore while doing the ARC-II. That was a very conscious call. Now, I don't think so there is any need for doing another ARC, at least for another, you know, I'll say 12 months-15 months from now onwards. Because what will happen in that 12 months-15 months, that will make as a third seasoning post-COVID period. Post-COVID, about my two, if we have to talk about the two-wheeler, wherein my seasoning generally happens in 2 years of time, whereas I'll get to know the quality of the portfolio somewhere in between 15-18 months of the time. So with that, after 15-16 months, it would be a third seasoning which is going to happen. Then we will see if we have to take any call on the ARC, including this pool. See, one more thing, you know, wherein you will appreciate us, that doing ARC is not because we wanted to, you know, we don't know that whether this pool will be behaving what we can. We have also evidence, we have also provided you the evidence that, you know, we have been able to bring down our security receipt. That security receipt has been brought down only through the hard cash recoveries. It's just that preponing the NPA, because end of the day, we have to make our finance costs also down. So for that, we have to approach all the bankers and the PSUs as well. And, you know, the first criteria was, you know, that your GNPA should be below 6%.
Okay, sir. Understood.
Yeah.
That's all from my side. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman Doshi from Geojit PMS. Please go ahead.
I have a few questions. Firstly, as you said, that 50% of the overall origination has happened from below 100 cities. So just to get more sense here, where are we in terms of the market share with dealers, especially in the mature market? And what percentage of market share do we aspire to reach over a medium term? This is just because will our first area of focus be to capture the incremental market share from the existing market or the newer locations carrying out in?
Okay. So let me divide that question into two parts. So one is that I will talk about market share in the locations that we operate in, because we don't operate across the country. So we are present in roughly about 34%-36% of the overall vehicle sales. So in that location where we are operational, we are at a market share of about 7% to 7.5% now. But on the overall pan-India scenario, we are at a market share of 2.6%. So, but then that excludes about 60%, 64% where we are not at all present. So that's on the market share. As of now, we are getting into a few markets, new markets, like we are expanding in Assam, because Assam, we were only present in Guwahati and the nearabouts, but now we are expanding slightly more into Assam because our portfolio has behaved extremely well there in all parameters, whether it is RC pendency or on delinquency, everything, the portfolio has behaved excellently. And we are also expanding into Bihar, which is a new market for us. We were not present in Bihar. So that's the market that we are entering into, because that's a big market for two-wheeler. So So that is on the listing side. All other locations, we will be going deeper in our existing locations wherever we are present. So in the location, we may be operating in 3 or 4 dealerships, but there could be about 10, 12 dealerships. We'll get into all of them. So going deeper in existing geographies and selectively spreading our wings into newer geography, that is one plan. Two, we will shortly be launching our used two-wheeler product also, because that will help us on two counts. One is on the building a better yield portfolio, because there typically the yields tend to be about 400, 500 bits higher than the new two-wheeler business. And two, we will also be able to give an end-to-end solution today. Wherever we have to repossess, we repossess and sell it online, etc. And there are vendors who quote online and take it. When we launch this product, we will be able to, place them in the dealerships whom we have tie up with, and we will be able to sell it off at a better pricing, maybe closer to the POS outstanding than what we are currently selling. So but that business will also be present only in the markets that we are present. We will not be venturing into new markets through that. So it's a new line of business that we are getting into.
Okay. And secondly, just related to this, how is the competition intensity panning out, given the fact that banks have a cost of funds advantage, and they are looking to aggressively look into this two-wheeler segment? Are you facing any high competitive pressures from banks?
So interestingly, we have data which we took from CICs, which is Credit Information Center. So interestingly, the share of both private sector banks and public sector banks have come down in the vehicle loan segment, and that share has been captured by NBFCs. So NBFCs have outperformed private banks and PSU banks in the vehicle loan space. In fact, in most of the retail lending products, NBFCs are now doing better. But especially in vehicle loan space, NBFCs have an edge. So competition whatsoever will be more from the NBFCs itself. I am not saying that there is no competition. But the competition is intense, but it is there from NBFCs, not because of the banks entering that. And two, on two-wheeler business, nobody, because the OPEX is relatively higher, nobody indiscriminately cuts their pricing. So maybe there may be about 100, 200 bits lower, but overall, it's range bound. They don't go indiscriminate.
Got this. This is helpful. And second and next thing on, like you mentioned, that there is competitive intensity itself. When and how are we positioned better compared to peers?
So we
do underwriting or sourcing.
So this year origination, we have some interesting data. We took it from CIBIL. So we had we did a benchmarking of us with private banks and other NBFCs. This was a cohort, so I'm not at the liberty to disclose the names of the cohort, but we had put up some larger thing, and we've indexed that number. So suppose in Q1 of 23, the originations were 100. That 100 for a private sector banks has gone up to 108, whereas it has gone up to 120 for other NBFCs, the cohort. But for MCSL, it has gone up to 174. So we have been clearly an outlier. So, even in terms of the AUM growth, MCSL has grown by about 46% on the AUM. The NBFC cohorts have grown their book at 18%, while private sector has grown their book only by 10%. So there also we have been an outlier. But of course, you have to appreciate the fact that our book size was smaller, so it was achievable. However, on hard facts, we've outperformed.
Perfect. This is helpful. And lastly, if I may, in terms of your PCR coverage, it has reduced to 60%. So are we seeing that the incremental asset quality is holding up Is that true in especially in the two-wheeler segment, and how are we scaling up the other than two-wheeler segment in terms of disbursements? Because it's still less than approximately 5% of our AUM, as you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, revision of PCR is a reflection of our better quality portfolio. Raman, would you want to give more details on that, please?
Yeah. So I'll just tell you first, on the other portfolios that we are building, right? So we have started CV in this financial year itself, so therefore we are not seeing any stress. For used car, we are doing it from last 2.5 years only, and therein, we have a stress of only 0.86%, right? So then there comes now the two-wheeler. Two-wheeler, wherein we have seen, we have analyzed our, that as I told at the start of the call itself, we have analyzed that where we are in terms of various stages, you know, in terms of my portfolio quality. Therefore, we have found that at zero bucket, 85.22% is there. In one bucket, 7.14% is there, right? And this zero bucket, one bucket, two bucket is coming from the post-COVID portfolio itself, right? And then if you, even if you see the industry or you compare with the peers, right? All the industries specifically who are working in, you know, who are operating in two-wheeler segment, they are hovering around with a GNPA of 5-6%, right? But within, you know, the kind of control we have seen and you know, and basis on, yes, 2.5 years back, 3 years back, we have seen, you know, the slippages has happened for a COVID pool. So on that, when we have taken the call on the new pool, we can see that, you know, there are no slippages as such, which we are seeing and which could be alarming for the company. Then basis on that, we took a call. Still, after taking this call, we are still having operating at 60% of PCR, right? Wherein if, even if you compare with the peers or industry operates at 45%, somewhere around that. Last thing, in order to summarize the entire thing, we are still carrying in excess of 42 crore as provision in the books, which we'll continue to carry, because we will assess that, you know, the portfolio which we have created over the last, you know, 1 year or so, that will get seasoned in next 6 months. So that also we have to look. So considering everything, when third seasoning of the portfolio will happen, then only we'll be able to absolutely know ki, okay, where we have to actually operate in terms of PCR of the company, whether it should be 40, it should be 45, or it should be equivalent to the IRAC norm sometimes. So therein now, keeping a very conscious approach, we are still keeping at 60%.
Perfect, perfect. Got it. Thanks. Thank you, and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Pal from CRSP Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question is, first question is, sir, if we see the presentation, I can see that the gross NPA from quarter one, sorry, quarter two of this financial year to this quarter three of this financial year increased from just one.
Sorry to interrupt, Suresh. You're breaking up. Can you please come, you know, come to a region where the cellular network is good?
Yeah. Just a second.
Okay.
Am I audible now? Am
yes,
I audible for
yes,
now, sir?
Better, sir. Better.
Yeah, sir, my question is, if I see from previous quarter, that is quarter two of this financial year versus quarter three of this financial year, I can see that our gross NPA has increased from 100 CR to 120 CR. So does it imply that we are seeing any stress in the asset quality? That's my question,
okay.
The first question.
Okay. Sir, may I answer this? So as I said at the start of the call, we did a disbursement of close to 2,000 CR in first 9 months, right? That is one. And if even if you see in this quarter, we did the ever highest business of 845 crore. The total slippages, if we talk about the GNP of the company, excluding the pre-COVID pool, it is hovering around at 100 crore itself, right? So the slippage as a percentage of the business which we have done, and as a percentage of the AUM, it is in check as of now. And as I said to my previous question as well, we are keeping the check. We are keeping a check considering our industry peers as well, that where the GNPA is going up. The normal slippages, which happens in a portfolio, that we are totally assessing the same. And if we have to take call on that, which I don't think so as of now, because we are analyzing the slippages each and every month. So there is no requirement of taking the call. The slippage which has been moved from bucket 2 to and 3 and 3 and above is basically a normal slippage which happens in every two-wheeler business. So that comes to around 3 to 4%.
Okay, sir. And sir, as we are seeing stress building as microfinance sector is getting hit, so is there any spillage effect we are seeing in our loan book?
So, no, nothing whatsoever, because microfinance, see, our customer segment is separate. So the microfinance borrowers are ladies. In our portfolio, about only 15 to 16% are lady customers. 85% are men, and we have not seen any, you know, slippage or percolation of that stress coming to the vehicle loan portfolio.
Yeah. And one more thing, sir, to answer on this, I have also shared one slide wherein we can see that MFI stress has came in the month of June. Post that, we can see that each and every, you know, parameter of efficiency in each bucket have been increased only, right? So this stress has not came. As our CEO has said, we are only having 15-16% of the portfolio wherein the customer is having MFI loan and a two-wheeler as well.
Okay, sir, and my last question is, in the presentation, I can see that our OPEX, operating expenses, has increased from 41 CR in quarter 2 to 45 CR in quarter 3. So, is there any specific reason?
So, as I said, you know, on the first question which has come, so there are 2-3 reasons for that. Since we have heavily invested on the, you know, on the softwares of the company, wherein we do have a separate LOS for our two-wheeler, separate LOS for our used car and for CCVs. All that has come in the last 18 months or so. And CVs and used car has come in this financial year itself. So yes, because of that, we can see a spike of 2-2.5 crores of spike that we have seen in my software expenses, which is the hit that we have taken in the Q3. Other than that, there was a normal OPEX rise which we have seen considering the kind of business which we have done in this financial year.
And sir, in the last quarter, you have given guidance that will be rise in our ROA and ROE. So when do you see that happening?
So, sir, very well said, sir. And thank you for asking this question. Sir, again, I would want to stick on that we want to keep an ROA of 2.5 to 3% at all times, right? Yes, you know, even if you see in the slides which I have shown, the yield of the company is only increasing. We need to work on certain areas wherein we have identified, and we can see that in our Jan portfolio itself. We are also seeing that what sort of, you know, things which we have to do in order to improve. So a proper check mechanism is there in the company. We can see that. One more thing, sir, you can also see our Q3 results. Our top line for the first time has been increased by 17 crores, right? And since we did the ever highest business in Q3, the interest impact and income impact will come from Q4 onwards. So therein, considering that, we can see that, and I want to stick with that promise, that yes, we will be operating at an ROS of somewhere between 2.5 to 3%. Yes, if we do any sort of DAs, which would be over and above that, so that will make to 3 to 3.25%.
And sir, that will translate to what type of ROE?
Considering debt to equity of the company at 4 times, and we will be somewhere around 4.5 times. So we can say that 4.5 multiplied by 3, which comes from 14-odd% as an ROE.
So that can be seen in next quarter, since we have grown our loan
book in quarter 3 halfway.
So the impact will be seen in quarter 4.
Yeah. Okay. Sir, in this stress scenarios wherein the industry is operating, we just wanted to be very cautious specifically with the NPA side of the company. Right, we don't want to have another black swan or another shocker for all our investors.
Yes.
Therefore, we are keeping check. Even if for doing all those checks, if we have to implement some software tools additionally, we will do that. Because at the end of the day, after 6 months or 8 months, if you have to ask me, we want to have a stable ship who can give, you know, continuous returns to our investors. We just don't want to, you know, to go that aggressive and, you know, and we don't want to miss the seat belt during this period wherein industry is not looking that good, specifically on the NPA side. So I assure you, we at a normal steady state, we'll be operating at 2.5 to 3% as our ROA.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for it. Because as a lending company, it's very easy to show growth. Players end up is they are going aggressive in the terms of loan growth and later blowing up the asset quality. So as a shareholder, I really appreciate that you are not going aggressive by compromising the asset quality. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhich Varma from Rest Assured Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had a query. What is the NPA ratio for co-lending book which we have?
Okay. So, for co-lending portfolio, as of now, we do not have any NPA. As I said at the start, the portfolio for the co-lending portfolio will be getting seasoned after 2 years. So, the seasoning is about to come. That is one. Right. Second thing is, you know, we are sourcing a very high quality portfolio with our co-lenders. It is not something that, you know, only they are approving. We also approve each and every case. Therefore, if you see the blended yield of the company has gone down, you know, in last year or so, because all those cases that we are sourcing at a very lower yield. Right. And proper mechanisms are there wherein if there is anything which is going beyond 60 days or stage two, you know, we immediately instruct our co-lending partners that, you know, that please chase the customer. Why it is not happening? If there is any mechanism, go there and foreclose and everything. So that's what the strategy we have adopted in the co-lending as of now. But yes, the portfolio quality of the co-lending will come after six months or so.
So are we expecting a spike in NPA on that front? Because in the past, we've seen that, you know, it has been consistently 0%. And it felt as if the underwriting quality of the co-lending book was pretty good because, you know, nothing incrementally was flipping there.
Yeah, sir, 0% we will not say. Yes, NPA had happened in the co-lending, but those NPAs either got closed, foreclosed, you know, wherein we have been able to take the co-lending partner have been able to take a reposition out of it and close it. Second thing, the yield on which I am operating at a 8% lower yield in co-lending as compared to my normal two-wheeler portfolio. Though I'm not incurring any, you know, cost of recoveries or any OPEX onto that, but still, you know, we expect a good portfolio. Third thing is that if you see my co-lending, you know, wherein I was somewhere around 600 crore as of March of last financial year. Right now, if you see, I'm hovering around somewhere 850 only. So the growth is also less because we also as a company want to see this seasoning. And with God's grace, as of now, we have not seen any major hiccups and we don't expect any sort of, you know, further NPAs on the co-lending portfolios as well. Third thing, sir, which we do, you know, in order to give assurance and, you know, in order to see what is happening, we do have audits of co-lending, which is happening each and every quarter, wherein all our partners will get audited through our independent auditors appointed by us, so that we can see that if there is any portfolio thing or anything related to entity, anything which is coming, that can also come into the picture on a real-time basis. Again, you know, with God's grace, you know, the audits have been well as of now, and we are not seeing any hiccups to come in the future.
Sir, could you confirm me what is normally the average ticket size of a loan which we sanction on our books for two-wheeler business?
Okay. So, right now, it is coming as 84,000.
So, my belief would be that, sir, suppose if our customer is in this segment, would primarily consist of, say, lower middle and middle income groups, if I'm correct?
Mm-hmm.
So now this new tax breaks, which have been announced by the government, which will start from next financial year. So does the credit underwriting change because there will be more disposable income in the receivers hand and, you know, maybe some NPA ratios may also become better looking because that incremental flow we can recover. Is there some working on that which we are looking at?
Mathew sir, if you can take that question, I'll just give you that. So we have divided this, our portfolio, into the formal income and informal income. So most of the customer, we are operating, you know, documented income is not there. Either they are through business and also. Mathew sir, if you can take that question and basis on this, because income tax.
Yeah, so I think that's a very valid question. You are right. I think it should see a, you know, portfolio should see some improvement because the disposable income of people would go up. But we will see as the situation evolves. We are not going to make any changes right now on our underwriting norms. We will continue to use whatever we are using right now. And as and when we see, you know, the segment, or maybe we'll be able to build something specific to that segment. Like, for instance, now we have launched a couple of products based on GST returns and all that for traders. So those kind of product development is an ongoing process, and we'll continue to do as and when the situation evolves. But thanks for giving that idea. As of now, we have not planned anything on those lines.
Sir, just last two questions from my side. One, you know, this RBI, you know, now they are saying that there is an expectation of a rate cut which may happen during the current calendar year at some time. How much does it translate for us in terms of margins? And second, sir, as a credit rating outlook, now that, you know, I believe we are at A1 plus for many securities, but as we are doing since last 2-3 years, we are trying to repair the quality and gradually build a new asset book. So do you expect any upgrades, and these two factors can help in understanding any input you have for that? That would be from us.
Raman, you want to take the question?
So rating, I can take
On
that.
So on the margin side, see, whenever there is a rate cut, if at all there is a rate cut, that will translate into, you know, a benefit on the MCLR. So MCLRs have been slightly going up over the last 1.5 years, but a rate cut would surely mean that the transmission will happen sooner than later, and that will benefit our MCLR, and we will see a proportionate increase in our NIM. Because on our book, as I mentioned before, we've introduced a risk-based pricing. So risk-based pricing would mean that today I'm applying a flat rate of interest to everybody based on the scheme and not based on the customer segmentation. But starting 1st of February, we have launched that risk-based pricing. I will be, you know, applying one rate to the low-risk customer, slightly higher rate to the medium, and slightly more rate to the higher-risk customers to take care of my collection cost. So that clubbed with the fact that if the transmission of repo rate cut comes to the MCLR, we will see a definite positive movement on our NIM.
Yeah.
On
the rating side of the company, what we'll do is we'll be having our, you know, annual financials getting prepared by May end, and then we already spoke to agencies. We are continuously in touch with them. We are sharing our each and every quarter financials also, and we will expect a jump in rating in the upcoming financial year, specifically after our Q4 results.
So normally, if an upgrade in rating happens, how much does it impact our cost of borrowing? Is it a significant jump?
So I'll say that, so there are two factors to it now. One, till September, we can say that our cost of borrowings were higher, but we had to do our own sourcing and business as well. Why our cost of borrowings are higher? Because of these one-time GST hits which the company has to face, right? So therein, all the rollover, every term loan which has come, you know, and for all the long-term funding which we have started taking, so therein, the cost of fund has increased. There is a good chance now, and that we have already started from Q3 itself. Therefore, we have also provided in this slide as well that even if the increase in the MCLR rate by 0.36%, our cost of fund has gone only by 0.14% up. So we are continuously on a verge of improving it. Second thing, you know, I still believe that, you know, that once we will be out with our annual financials having a GNPA of lower than 6%, more PSUs will welcome us and all the applications which are there, and that will come. So from PSUs, I'm expecting a rate cut of at least 0.50% for sure. That might go up to 0.50 to 1%. Then when our rating will get improved, so marginal impact can come from it. That we will see what would be the impact. That impact will only be coming through the NCDs which I will be placing in the market. So therein, right now, if I am operating at an XRR for the NCD side, XRR I'm talking about at 11.3, 11.4, that we can bring below 11.
And sir, are we looking at any avenue to raise equity in the future? Because currently our share price is trading below price to book. So, you know, it might look as an undervalued asset and may not be beneficial to existing shareholders.
Yeah.
Do you have any feedback on this?
So, So we are again on a path of recovery. Whatever happened, you know, two and a half years back, wherein the company has reported one-time loss. After that, you know, two things we have done. First, focus on increasing the sourcing of the of our MCSL. How and that sourcing with an improved asset quality, which we can see also in the results, right? Second is, you know, taking care of the GNPA of the previous pool. If I talk about on the call that we are having 15 crore as a GNPA from the previous pool as of now, 2.5 years back it was 535 crores. So it was a huge, you know, a huge improvement wherein the company has. So on each and every parameters we have started working, and whatever we have said to the shareholders during our quarter on quarter call, wherein earlier, you know, 1 year back, the question remains to us was, you know, the company is hovering around at 2,000 crore of AUM. Right now, when we'll be taking Q4 call, or, you know, as we speak, we have already crossed 3,000 crore of AUM. So on step by step, we are improving on each and every parameter, and I'm 100% sure the ship is steady now. We know what to source and we know how to source it. Based on that, more than that, we also have each and every week, you know, call with our promoters and EDs wherein they track on the NPAs of the company personally. So that is how the kind of, you know, responsibility which flows from top to the lowest of level. So therein we can also expect we can also expect drop down in the GNPA as an absolute term as well in the quarters to come.
Does that answer your question, Kshitij?
Yes, sir. It's all from my side. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Lati from Akshita Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me here, sir. So, sticking to the NPA theme, I had a question on slide 32 of the presentation that you shared. Mm-hmm. So, the gross NPA position as on December end is 134 crores and the net NPA is 61 crores. So I was just noticing that the gross NPA has grown by around 19.7 crores over the last quarter, while the net NPA has grown by a higher amount, by around 24 crores. So could you just help me reconcile the reason as to this?
So boss, GNPA to NNPA has a function wherein, you know, PCR comes into the picture. GNPA to NNPA for last quarter, wherein we used to apply 75%, now we are applying 60%.
Right.
The movement in the GNPA which we have seen is basically the normal movement wherein, you know, the portfolio has season. And if you see in a two-wheeler industry, generally you will see the seasoning of the portfolio will come in Q3. Why? There is a specific thing because entire business, you know, it starts into quarters only. Whereas in Q2 and Q3, if you see the entire scale-up of any two-wheeler organization, their highest sourcing will be there in Q2 and Q3. So, and all cycles will get either completed in the Q2 of some year or Q3 of some year. So therein, you might see some jumps, but all those jumps are in control, and we are below par as far as the industry is concerned, which is that 5.5-6% of GNPA. We are still at 4.73% of the GNPA. That also includes some portion of my pre-COVID era as well. right? And I hope I have also answered your NNPA question.
No, fair enough, sir. So I just wanted to understand why the net NPA growth should be higher than the gross NPA. So that is the only query that I had. So is it something to do with the reversal of around 18.1 crores which you have taken due to reduction in provision?
No, that's what I have told you, na. The PCR of the company is now 60%. So
Right.
if you apply around 133.86%, or sorry, 86 crore to 60%, you will get this percentage, 61.34 crore, right?
Aditya, does that answer your question?
So, Aditya ji, one more thing. If you see, our GNPA has been increased, right, in absolute terms. And so I'll give you some mathematics example to that. For example, my GNPA was 100 rupees in quarter two. On that, I was applying 75%. Remaining was my NPA. That 100 has become 130 now. On that, I am applying a lower percentage. So growth in NNPA would always be on the higher side, because therein the GNPA terms has not changed. The NNPA term has been changed significantly from 75 to 60. That change has, because of the factor, as I already told you, that we felt we don't need the requirement of that high PCR.
Understood. Understood, sir. So, just a follow-up to this. This 18.1, would this be routed through the P&L, the reduction in provisions that you had released?
So it will automatically form my part of my P&L whenever I bring down any PCR, because we don't find any need for we didn't find any need for keeping the higher PCR. So therefore, we have applied lower amount of, you know, PCR on the NPA. Not the lower amount, 60% on my NPA, as compared to the previous quarter, wherein we used to apply 75%. Now we are applying at 60%.
Fair enough.
Because end of the day, end of the day, sir, one more thing, the business is growing, everything is growing. So everything we want from the industry standard. So as PCR too, we want to keep it keep as per the industry as well.
That's right. Great. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Sir, thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today and, you know, having asked such lovely questions. And also some of the questions were really thought-provoking, which would give us some ideas for building our business on those lines. Thank you once again, and I wish you all a very happy and prosperous 2025 once again from the side of management.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.